Hey, it's the coach, Rich Gilgallon. Welcome back to What's Up, Doc, with the amazing Dr. Shah, who is from Desert Dream Dentistry and Spa. It's on El Paseo, Suite C, 73151 El Paseo, Suite C, in beautiful Palm Desert, California. Dr. Kiana Shah is an amazing story and is well-known throughout the Coachella Valley and really around the country and around the world. Dr. Shah, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Coach Rich. Thank you for having me on the show again.
It's a great pleasure to have you back. We've done one amazing show, What's Up, Doc, with Dr. Shah, and this is our second go-round because there's so much more to talk about. And I have had the pleasure and the benefit of being treated by Dr. Shah, so I want to put that out there so everybody knows it. And when you walk in to your office, you know, a lot of people say in real estate, you know, it's the first things first, right, that you see when you come in. When you come into your office, there is a sense of calmness and peace and almost a zen-like feeling when you walk in there with your staff and yourself. Tell us about how hard you work to bring that presentation to the public when they first walk in the door.
So I had several offices in the past, and I learned a little bit from each office and tried to make it a smaller boutique and more patient-oriented practice. So from the time you walk in, from seeing our family displayed as the Simpsons up there,
yes,
exemplifying sort of the good old comical American life of hard work and family, we institute that in our office. And the staff is also part of this whole environment that we create,
yes,
to create that comfort that you're referring to.
Well, it just doesn't happen overnight. It happens when you have a leader who is looked up to by the staff, and certainly that seems to be the case when you walk into your office as well. It's a team, and you get the sense that it's a team, but you also have a sense and understanding of who the boss is inside that team. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. There's one way of doing a business or an organization is being a leader that instructs everyone, do this, do this, do this, or be in the forefront of it. When you lead, others will follow.
Mm-hmm.
There are sayings like you build it and they will come.
Right.
And that's important that you're in the forefront of it and that you exemplify what you want the vision to be.
Now, in our last podcast, we went over fairly extensively your education, your background, why you chose this particular field. I mean, you could have been a heart surgeon, like you could have been a million different things, and you just got locked in to this dentistry. And one of the things I've noticed sitting in there in your office and talking to you is that there is, you know, the smile is your outward presentation of your soul. And you help these people, me included, to develop a smile where they can't stop smiling. And how important is it that in any kind of business, in any kind of social interaction, that you're able to freely just show who you are with an amazing smile? It must give you great pride when you see people come in who won't smile or can't, and they leave your office almost in tears and of joy that they can now present themselves in a better way.
It's a very unfortunate situation. Your smile is your ultimate accessory. So when you interact with people, they see your eyes and your smile. That usually pops out at them.
Right.
Either they're looking at your eyes or they're looking at your smile. So it's very unfortunate that many patients are apprehensive of the dentist due to many reasons. One specifically that comes up a lot being that they have had a bad experience in their childhood or in their adolescence that carried with them all the way through to their life.
Well, let's examine that because this is very true. As a young person, if you're my age in your 60s, say, these guys that were, with all due respect, they could care less back in the day if it hurt, if it didn't hurt. The whole process of pulling a tooth, You know, all the stuff that, and it left a bad impression and a fearful impression on, I can tell you honestly, on me. I mean, it took me years and years and years to go back to a dentist. And I, of course, I paid the price, as many people do. And so there's this fear of pain and fear of this anxiety before you go in there. We've come an awful long way, you know, with people like you now handling this situation. Tell us about that.
Rich, times have changed. You know, in 30, 40 years ago, the gloves were a non-issue. They weren't wearing them. You know, masks, they were, was not part of the deal to go to the dentist. And even before that, they were doing it in barber shops. After you got a haircut, they yanked it too. There was no regulation.
Yes.
So, you know, we are in the greatest country in the world where we have rules and ways to do things. We can't just treat patients the way we did 30, 40 years ago. That doesn't fly anymore.
Yes.
So we have certain obligations to the patients to provide them with the best care. It's a contract that we are working for the patient. It's a true contract.
Yes.
In the best interest of the patient. And the rule, number one rule is do no harm. So if you're working on a patient...
It's the Hippocratic Oath.
It's part of it,
yes.
And it's that one carried on for thousands of years.
Yes.
But we have better tools and technologies and techniques now to a point where we can mitigate all those apprehensions, establish a better rapport with the patient, provide better experience, the psychology aspect of it. So that should no longer be a limiting factor of going to the dentist, because the dental experience can now be... minimally
invasive, yes.
Minimal pain, and there are many ways to, for the extreme anxiety, anxious patients, you can put them under, you
yes.
know, and treat them that way. So we give the patients all those options, so they can get to know us first, establish some rapport, and we may not be the best fit for everyone,
right?
But you have to find someone that you trust in, that makes you comfortable, because you always get a gut feeling. You know,
right.
Life is, I make a lot of business decisions, not based on business plans, and
right.
Although I have an MBA, I don't make it based on business plans and projections. They need to be there. They're part of an essential item to have there.
Of course.
But you're gonna have a gut feeling. Just like you go and you wanna get rent a house or buy a property or
right.
whatever it is.
Right.
That gut feeling is very important, because you quickly analyze if this is for you. So find a doctor that that you trust, that you feel comfortable with, that you go visit, and if a doctor takes the time of the day to sit down with you and truly understand what your challenges are, that's the person for you. And if it's an in-and-out scenario and they're jumping between four or five chairs and numbing people and
right.
get this filling done.
And you've seen that. And we've seen that
that's
time and time again.
Too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the process that takes place. For example, let's use dentures, you know, in this for the purpose of this conversation. There are implants and there's, you know, amazing new technologies that you are at the front edge of and have helped in actually inventing some of these technologies. So, and we can talk about that, but a lot of times in the past, people would go to the dentist and the guy would take the teeth and then he'd give them dentures and send them on their way, and that was it. But you have taught me and other people that I know have seen you that there is a process involved here, and it takes a little time. You know, you have, you know, once your teeth come out for whatever reason and you're fitted for dentures, it takes a little while for the dentures and the gums to heal and things like that. Tell us a little bit about the process, because you don't just walk away. I mean, as maybe they did 25, 30 years ago, you're actively involved in checking on how the patient is feeling and then readjusting as the healing process begins. Tell us a little bit about your philosophy on that.
It's definitely a process. To establish the best outcome for the patient and the doctor, to mutual satisfaction of the case, you have to first establish expectations. you tell the patient, yeah, everything is going to be fine, and teeth are going to come out, and dentures are going to... It's not the case.
Right.
You have to have a relationship with the patient. We don't like to leave patients ever without teeth.
Right.
We prefer to do implants after they heal.
Right.
When we take the teeth out, we put in often what are called immediate implants.
Right.
The same day. I mean, immediate dentures the same day.
Right.
Not immediate implants. Right. That's a whole different story. But immediate dentures, the teeth go in... And the teeth come out and the dentures go in the same day. But as you heal, your gums start tightening up and dentures become looser. So
right.
you need relines. You know, we start with some soft relines and take you all the way up to after 6 months when you're completely healed, and then match the dentures to the new environment after complete healing of the bone and the gums. But every patient is different. Some patients need adjustments that relate to their bite, or relate to the dentures digging in somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or rubbing somewhere. So you have to kind of establish that relationship right off the get-go, that, hey, we may need several adjustments,
right.
we may need to keep you in soft reliners for a while until we can reline you permanently to keep you going while the healing process goes on. So it is a process, not a one-time event, and it becomes a friendship. And it's like, you know, people that need adjustments, they just run in and say, hey, doc, I got a little thing here.
Right.
All right, you're here. Let's take care of you right now. Or they call, and we attend to the adjustments. But it's quite a process indeed.
Desert Dream Dentistry and Spa, and you can check them out, their amazing website at desertdreamdentistry.com. Dr. Kiana Shah is on El Paseo at 73151 El Paseo Suite C in Palm Desert, California. 92260 is the address. And his phone number is 760-219-7487. And what I've noticed is, we've just seen it, in fact, today, is... to coin a phrase, an interesting phrase, talking to such an esteemed dentist as you, word of mouth it really generates your business, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, marketing is very minimal for us. When you're in an environment where there are 100 dentists, your work is going to eventually get to the community, and it's very competitive. But nevertheless, patients are the proof of your work that invite more patients,
yes.
to the practice, and that's how we have organically grown.
Well, that's how it happens. You know, somebody gets taken care of and they're like, oh man, I just had the greatest experience with Dr. Shah. I mean, what a beautiful office and a great guy. Really, because I got a cavity back here. We just saw it in the hallway here, and I just talking to each other. This is how, you know, it builds. And yours is built very successfully, and I think to a great extent through word of mouth, and that has to be exciting to you. When you, as you go forward, and the business grows as it is, how exciting is that for you as you look forward to the future?
Well, what started off as a 1 to 2 day operation now is has grown to a point where we brought in an associate from Loma Linda,
mm-hmm.
that currently helps us with all of the cases. We're doing a lot more full mouth rehabilitations, and I have patients coming in from all over the country that want to be able to get things done in one setting, or that want to be able to be put under, for example, as well. So I do the very big cases.
Right.
And my associate now is handling the simpler fillings and aesthetic crowns. And he has also got a keen ability and knowledge from his time at Loma Linda, where he works with digital technologies.
Right.
So we're starting to scan everything and scanning the crowns and for a much better turnaround, less goo involved.
Right.
And on all of the benefits that come with the latest technologies.
Well, let me change gears just for a second, because one of the things that you're actively involved in and very busy with and podcasting like a crazy guy is this doctor-to-doctor thing that you've been working on and really helped instigate, if I can say, where you bring these this amazing group of doctors, not all always dentists, right?
They are from pharmacy, optometry, medical chiropractic, dentistry, and medical philosophy.
And medical philosophy. Ooh, that's a good subject for a podcast right there. And so you gather together occasionally around the country and exchange. How does what actually takes place at these events?
So this hashtag Doctor to Doctor movement that you can find on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and others was instituted by us with the first class of 2020. In January 1, 2020, we issued the first class. And every year we take on about 100 doctors that are shown and demonstrated a level of additional extracurricular activities that would benefit the healthcare industry, mm-hmm. be it innovation, be it mostly educators, movers and shakers of the healthcare industry, some of the biggest names of the people that wrote the books that we went to school with. And we began addressing the challenges of the healthcare industry by having subcommittees and commissions, and it's a pure doctor-to-doctor movement to regain our autonomy back in the industry, in our own industry. You've had in the last 40 to 50 years, you have had insurance companies move in, private equity.
Right.
Everybody's doing what they want, but ultimately it's interfering with the patient-doctor relationship. You got insurance companies establishing diagnosis. Patients are saying, hey, we will only do what insurance companies say, not what is in their best interest.
Interesting.
You got people that are unlicensed at insurance companies that have never went to medical or dental school or anything like that, overriding the diagnosis of doctors, telling them that they can't do this procedure and they can't do that procedure. And then the patient has the option to either pay out of pocket and sometimes face financial disaster.
Yes.
Or say, well, I'm not going to do it. And that subsequently causes more problems for the patient, be it psychological or health-wise. So in reality, these companies are making decisions that affect the patient's well-being, which is known as the practice of medicine.
And they don't know anything about medicine.
And they don't have a license, and they don't have any fraternity. So you got all of these third parties that are coming into the most lucrative industry in the world, wanting to profit. Profiteers, we call them. So these profiteers need to take it down a notch because they're destroying the healthcare industry. People can't get care that they need in the greatest country in the world because we have all of these profiteers at the table that want a piece of the action. But there is no peace for them here. This is healthcare. This is about patient-doctor relationship. It's not about politics. It's not about money. It's about one human being having the education of giving care to another human being without the interference of anyone else. And that point needs to be really, really emphasized in the years to come. As a consequence of the doctor-to-doctor movement, we want our autonomy back. We want to be able to practice freely, and we want to be able to care for patients. This is what doctors signed up for.
And so the government gets in the way occasionally here too. And these when an insurance company sets a fee, that may not be what the market bears. I mean, how do you go about figuring out what a fee should be, if I could ask?
Well, the fee depends in dentistry, in medicine, optometry, and chiropractic, they have destroyed these industries. Look at what Walmart has done, for example, to optometry and optometry, medicine, and pharmacy. These guys are no control doctors. They come in, and not just at that entity, but in many, many other. I mean, we're talking about a grocery clothing store, you know? And then you have the government is not actually, this is a private matter. You know, you got these insurance companies coming in, clocking in hundreds of billions of dollars that are completely unnecessary. The system doesn't even have to exist. And the people that are feeding them are the employers. They're buying a benefit for their employees.
Yes.
The government is buying a benefit for their employees. And then you got these companies that are getting all this money, and patients are not going in all the time to use their maximums, right?
Right.
So they're just taking in all this profit. Patients sometimes don't use their benefits. And then, you have a very weird system where it inflicts pain upon the whole system. It drains the entire system money.
So what's going on here, which is so exciting, is that you and others are challenging that system now. by bringing all these doctors together from different fields and saying, look, something has to be done here for us to be able to take care of patients without putting them in the poorhouse. So this is an uprising which is beginning here and has the insurance companies shaken a little bit.
On a global scale.
Yes.
Currently, our doctor-to-doctor movement has participation and constituents in over 90 countries. We can create better systems using technology, and our colleagues work in all walks of life, from accountants to lawyers to you name it, supply chain members, executives. We have what we need, and we could be self-sufficient without all of them. They don't bring anything to the table. They say they increase access to care. They don't. We increase access to care.
That's right.
They say they bring business acumen to the table. They don't. We have plenty of business acumen. If we didn't have acumen to learn or to improve ourselves, we wouldn't have gotten through medical, dental, pharmacy, optometry, chiropractic school. So they are guests. And when guests don't behave at a party, they're usually asked to leave.
Yes.
And you know, at some point, there is going to be people that are going to get fed up, and they're going to stand up and say, hey, what's going on here? Why is there somebody telling me I got to go into this room doing this procedure and another person telling me to do? I'm supposed to be the one making the calls in this practice.
Right. Right.
So, and ironically, 47 states in the United States prohibit the practice and practice of medicine by an unlicensed person, which means owning anything in a medical office,
right,
in a healthcare office, or participating in diagnosis of any kind.
Right.
But they circumvent those with games. They set up management companies and hold all the assets and hire some doctor that sells us out and puts his name on all those practices.
Right.
But they control him or her. And it's not the real legislative intent to have your own autonomy, to be able to make the decisions on site that affect patient care. It's being made in some boardroom by a bunch of fat cats that are becoming fat to abusing the patient-doctor.
Well, this is a huge issue, And by the way, many of your colleagues and you as well are so charitable. We have things that go out here in the Coachella Valley where, the doctors just show up and, for people on the lower end of the economic tier, they just, they're all there together at the same time, and people come in and get their teeth fixed and their eyes looked at. And so this is not about making $1 billion and being a fat cat. This is about serving your community as a medical professional, and not having to have some other non-medical professional decide who can see you and who can't and what they're going to pay.
Patients are not informed. They go to the medical doctor or a dentist or an optometrist or a pharmacist because we used to be the community leaders.
Yes.
You're respected by the public, more so than politicians are, and all these lobbyists and all these other guys. And my message for all these companies would be, get out of healthcare, go make your money somewhere else. This is not for you. If you want to make money in healthcare, go to medical school. Then you will have in the back of your mind the Hippocratic Oath.
Yes.
Then you will take care of your patient with that in the back of your mind as you wish to be treated. Not for some, not to profit and make money and try to put everybody into a factory line worker so some 5-6 guys in a boardroom can become wealthy.
Well, it's very exciting. And this, you don't come to this doctor-to-doctor thing with no experience. Obviously, at some point, you had a situation where you weren't overly pleased with the medical situation or, the insurance company or something like that, which set you in this direction.
I speak on behalf of my colleagues. At some point in my career, I was traveling to over 300 offices doing implant surgeries and wisdom teeth. And between patients, you talk to your colleagues and you understand their grievances. And it's the same stuff that comes up, that keeps coming up. They're doing this to me. They're degrading my value. They're every year it's getting worse and worse. Patients need to ask. Just because you're at a doctor's office, they could be owned by a corporation. It could be involved in some kind of an insurance scheme for profit, whatever it is. You need to ask questions. Is Dr. Jones my doctor? Is this his facility? Does he own it?
Right.
Because then you know that there's nobody else that there's no conflict of interest. It's right. You and Dr. Jones.
Right.
Okay? So patients need to start asking questions, because what they do is they rebrand their offices. They call it, XYZ Modern Dental. Then right. You go in there and you think, oh, this is owned by this doctor. I'm going to be able to be taken care of. But it's a big, massive multi-billion dollar corporation behind it,
right?
Funded by some hedge fund. Sometimes it's so sad that now some guy in China can own a piece of a dental practice through another financial vehicle through these corporations. It's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling.
Just ask, is this owned by the doctor that is on site? And if they have an associate, the associate also is on site under his or her direction.
Right.
And they can practice medicine and dentistry because there are 2, 3, 4, 5 doctors that talk amongst each other versus having to report to some corporate clown.
That's the first question you ask. Who owns this practice, right?
That's what I would do if right. If my family was going to a doctor nowadays.
Right.
Who owns this practice? Who's going to be seeing me? Because these corporations, for them, we are a drop in a bucket.
Yes.
There's plenty of doctors, right? They can just recruit and bribe and do whatever they want to get them in. But for the patients, it's not so good, because when a doctor gets in trouble and if they push him and coerce him and harass him to make more money for the office, and he gets kicked out, they don't cover him. He's gone. The next guy comes in. It's a revolving door. So the patient comes in and sees a new doctor, and now here, what happened here? Well, you know, we have a new doctor. The law only requires us to have a doctor on site for you, and that's it.
So
what
true.
Happened to the doctor-patient relationship? What happened to, I want my doctor to take care of me? Why do you get to fire my doctor and put another doctor in here for me? You know, make sure you're seeing the same doctor that you like. Don't let these corporations come, because you're not going to get the care that you deserve and you like. And because of all these schemes that are being played, and the public needs to start asking questions.
Oh, well, I could not say that better myself, and I'm a professional sayer of sentences. Nice job. Good job there, Dr. Shah. That's Dr. Keanu Shah.
Needed to be said.
It needed to be said. You can call his office at 760-219-7487. DesertDreamDentistry.com is the website. It is an awesome practice, and it's owned by him, okay? So that's how you know. Thank you, brother. That was well done. That was a quick half hour today. This is our second podcast. We'll have a few more coming up in the next several weeks, and we appreciate you all checking it out. You can Google Dr. Shah, believe me, and you'll see the long list of accolades that have been provided to him for his hard work and dedication by his community. It's not a small thing. It's very, very important when you have a reputation. Your reputation in this business is everything, is it not?
Yes.
Everything.
Your reputation speaks for it.
And yours does, my brother. Thank you. That's What's Up, Doc, with the coach. Anything you want to add before we go?
Honored to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
It's my great pleasure. All right, we'll be back next time on What's Up, Doc.